I want to stand these sticks up, and it'll make a point before the lesson's over. Just right here and stand them up. Let me try again. Maybe I didn't get it right. Maybe just two. Still not working. Let me try again. Maybe like this. Let me try this. Hold on, Mike. I didn't scratch your paint, Dan. Oh well. We'll just have to let that go. We'll get into our lesson. We've talked a lot about fellowship this year. Fellowship with God, deepening our fellowship and relations with Him. Strengthen our relationships with one another and the value of that. And also, what it means to not be in fellowship with God. And so there'll be some things that are very familiar today, just as a reminder. And maybe a new term to think. In order to have fellowship with God and fellowship with one another, we need to lean in. We can't be leaning back and less and less and less. We need to lean in to each other. And as this photograph shows, and actually this is on a business card that Rachel made, it shows us all arm in arm and leaning in. Certainly the scriptures give us lots and lots of instruction and commandments about our fellowship with one another and how that looks and how that works, how we lean in. There's over 100 scriptures that are one another passages, each other passages. We're not going to go through all 100 of those today. I know you're familiar, but they teach us that we love one another, forbear one another, admonish one another, encourage one another, be kind to one another, forgive one another, bear one another's burdens, pray for one another, serve for one another. And the first and the last that I mentioned there also applies to our fellowship with God. We love God and want to have deeper fellowship with Him. We love Him because He loved us first. We serve God out of a sense of indebtedness and the honor and privilege to serve the mighty and awesome God that created this earth, that loved us so much that He sent His Son to take on the punishment that we deserve for our sins. So love and serve, they're key components to fellowship. Fellowship's bigger than that. But certainly it entails that. I'd like to read Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either one of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist. And in case you're thinking this is only talking about marriage, it says a cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. So it's not three in marriage, just two. This is a familiar writing from the wisdom of Solomon. But it shows the benefits, the real world benefits, not just unseen things, but seen things that we can feel and touch and know of having fellowship with one another, mutual support, loving one another, serving one another, encouraging one another. That, and how many people know that that passage is on the bulletin board in the foyer? When you walk in, you gotta look at that. Rachel's got a lot of great stuff up there about fellowship, and that's one of them. Building relationships requires a commitment to fellowship and investment of time. This 1 Thessalonians passage tells us that. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Those two are linked together. If we have faith in our faith in God and Christ and understanding of the depth of that and just how unbelievable it is, how much he loved us, even though we don't deserve it, didn't deserve it when mankind didn't deserve it when he sent Christ to come and die for us, and we're no better today. And when your faith and appreciation for how much God loved you and how much he did for you, even though we don't deserve it, you're going to love your brothers and sisters more and be willing to be more patient and forbearing and kind to them because of what Christ did for you. And we talked about earlier, I mentioned serving one another, but it works both ways. Sometimes you're the one that comes in with a bucket half full. And there's somebody here, and something that will take place here that can fill that bucket up, whether it's a prayer, communion, words in a song, something that somebody says, a hug you get in the aisle that leaves you feeling better and encouraged. And we all need friends, and we can all be a friend. That fellowship, as Dan had mentioned, it includes the fact that we are fellow heirs with Christ. We're servants, but also fellow heirs with Christ. Just an awesome, awesome thought. And because this church recognizes the importance of fellowship, we have multiple opportunities for you to lean in and have that time together with fellow Christians. And I'm sure I missed some. But as I think Rick mentioned during call to worship, those fireside studies on Wednesday night, the studies are good. And the time afterward when people stay and talk, they're good. It's just a time of casual fellowship. And we can all benefit from that. The life groups, again, time together. We look into God's Word, pray together. Next Sunday, our outdoor worship, it's going to be a different format. There is a lot of time in that afternoon for you to spend with a brother and sister and encourage them and be encouraged. Share a struggle. Pray together. One of the things, as we talked about, the first year of our Vision 2030 plan, of emphasizing prayer and starting with prayer. A couple things that we look to see, was that effective, is we want to encourage one another that instead of we should change our language from "I'll pray for you" to "let's pray now." And I see that sometimes. You'll see one or two or three or four people, sometimes after service, they're armed in arm and heads are bowed and they're praying about something that one of them wanted to share. And they go to their Heavenly Father right away. And I trust continue to do that throughout the week. And you can even do that, whether it's, you know, with your waitress in a restaurant, you know, that we can pray now, pray for somebody. Many of you, I hear you witnessing about doing that, and I have yet to hear somebody that the response was, no, I don't want you to pray for me. That they, people hurt, and they appreciate the prayers of others. And you look at our bulletin, and you can tell this church believes in prayer. Many, many, many physical things, and there are spiritual things to pray for too, and I hope we do that throughout the week. Sometimes maybe we're a little more reluctant to ask for that. That's not where we should be. I hope we see the day where that mix of physical concerns and spiritual concerns in our prayers gets more centered. The physical ailments, we don't like to see anybody that we know and love to suffer, but yet we need to be most concerned and keep our prayers most focused on things with eternal consequences. And going down this list, camping, you know, the time that the campers get together and they have a whole weekend together, there's time for fellowship, there's time for one-on-one conversation to bond and talk about what's important in your life and where how you're doing on your Christian walk. And the other thing I remember a long time ago, I think it was actually on a video we showed here on Sunday night, the speaker was talking about how he sees people that camp together, how they really bond, a real strong relationship. And he thought it was camping. But after giving it some more thought, he realized it was, we bond when we deal with diversity together. Camping frequently has some diversity. Bugs, weather you didn't count on, and, you know, the fire that won't start, or the line at the shower. And you deal with a lot of diversity if you camp very often. That's why Shelly and I are pretty much Hampton Inn campers, you know. But we love to go and spend the day with you, but then we go home at night. Yeah. The men's prayer breakfast, you know, some of those times are really rich. Not always. Sometimes we kind of keep it on the surface, but there's times when it's deep spiritual thoughts, and that we kind of let our guard down and share with the men that are other. Ladies' Bible study, I assume is the same. I haven't been there. The fellowship group activities that are planned throughout the year, special events for the seniors, sharing cards and phone calls, texts, emails, prayer partners. I hear a lot of feedback from that people that are involved in that and really appreciate that. If you're not and you want to, just ask somebody. You know, you don't need someone else to organize that with you. Just ask a brother or sister that, you know, could we call once a week and pray on the phone together. You know, that's how I think most of them do it, on the phone. They don't physically get together. We've all got busy lives, but everyone I hear really gets a lot of benefit from it. And sharing, you know, the cards, phone calls, and meals, and also the online Bible plan chat that Krista put together and put something out frequently. They're usually short little devotional sessions, and then they move on to another section. She sent it, you know, out to the ladies, but Tom and I, we read too. Yeah. And it's good. Really rich. The youth group activities, Camp Manitoni, whether you're a camper, work there, or just there for a day. Outreach projects, you know, we recently picked 5,400 pounds of tomatoes that got given to needy people, to give them some fresh hospitality or fresh food, and also home hospitality. Just invite somebody over to dinner, to share a meal, you know, coffee and brownies, ice cream. I know some of that takes place, but my sense is we might not be as good about that as we used to be, because we're all busy people. And it's, you kind of have to plan for it, to carve out some time. If you just wait for there to be free time, it doesn't happen very often. As I look into, you know, one of Jesus's parallels, you know, I know you're familiar with the parable of the soils. That deals with the four different kinds of soil that the sower dropped his seed on. Some that fell on the road, the rocky soil, among the thorns, and good ground. The one that I want to think about the most is, because I think it's the one that's most deceptive. It sneaks in to Christians a little and a little and a little at a time, until one day the worries of this life, you know, pursuit of riches, the pleasures of this life have choked out your faith, and it becomes less and less part of your life, and to the point where, as in the passage says, that it doesn't lead to maturity. It doesn't, as Jesus explains the parable, seeds the word of God, those beside the road are those who have heard, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bear no fruit to maturity. And it is so subtle, you don't even see it coming until one day that there's no time. You haven't left any time in your life to pursue and help your fellowship with one another grow. No time to spend with God in prayer and reading His Word. So that shrinks. You know, it's not gone, but it's less and less productive. And it's an easy trap to fall into. There's been times in my life that happened. Now I do my best, and I recognize the fact that the pursuit of enough money to support my family is gone. I have the privilege of being retired. I try, and the shift I've made in my life, and I believe it's right, is in years past, my life was compartmentalized. There was work. There was pursuit of my hobbies, the outdoor sports. And there was church, and there were walls between all those. One didn't fit into the other one. This was that. That's wrong. It's as we are going, we make disciples. So I see all of those and all aspects of my life as opportunities to influence people for Christ. And I use my hobbies for that, because I'm kind of like way done with the work thing. Yeah, it's in the past, and I don't need to redo that. So, you know, I have my sphere of influence in a way is smaller, but I work harder at it. You know, I have neighbors, you know, in immediate houses around us, and those I have good neighbors, But those friendships, they're static. It doesn't seem, we've had difficulty in making those grow in a direction for making disciples. But I have, you know, my friends, some new, some I've known since high school that, you know, I hunt and fish with. And I work and I think and I consciously try and move those directions, those relationships towards what they need the most, and it's a saving relationship with Christ. And there's progress. I wish it was faster. Some of my friends are at different places. Some, you know, a couple years ago, totally atheistic, non-believer, but through a car accident, he's rethinking some things. And others that have a deep belief in God and just need to be taught more perfectly to recognize that they need to lean in. They need to lean in and obey his gospel. I want to try and do this again. This was really important. Just bear with me. I'm trying. A little patience. They stand. They stand when they lean in, and you can't, I'm going to knock it over, they're pretty fragile. When they lean in together, they stand. And the scriptures we talked about you know, some of those, that wisdom in Ecclesiastes about you need more than one, two stronger, three stronger. When we lean into each other, we stand. We have a much greater chance of being fruitful, being mature Christians, and being stronger in our relationship with God. And probably in the back you can't see, but there's a rubber band here. It's all the sticks are not the same. That's not why they stand. They stand because the rubber band holds them together. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the indwelling of the Spirit is the common bond that we are blessed with, that is God's seal that you are his child and heir, and it's what we all have in common. We come from different places, different backgrounds, different wealth. And, you know, we don't all think alike on every single thing, but his Spirit that lives within us is what makes us united in fellowship, united in purpose, and we stand together. And I am so thankful for that. I want to read from Romans 8. It'll reinforce, so it won't be just my ideas. And again, these are familiar passages, but they're rich. And I'll just skip down through Romans 8. Beginning in verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Who doesn't want life and peace? And dropping down to 9, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. He's talking to the church. The saved children of God, if indeed the Spirit in God dwells in you. But if anyone, here's the warning, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, and know for sure he raised him from the dead. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. If his Spirit indwells you, on that last day of judgment, you are going to rise and be with God forever. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, in fellowship with Christ. We think about leaning into Jesus, and leaning into one another, you see, when we lean into each other, and the Spirit holds us together, we stand. But there's one here that's not leaning in. It's still trying to stand all by itself. And if that's where your faith is, and the pleasures and worries of this world are still causing you to lean out, you're kidding yourself to think that you're going to grow and be able to stand all by yourself. Yes, Christ is there, but he made us as a community of people to support one another. And you know, and I know, the world is bombarding us constantly, whether at work, school, you name it, there are all kinds of pressures and voices pulling you away from God. So if you're trying to stand alone, it's hard not to fall. And you can go from being that soil that's choked to being the one where everything is gone. And this, you're being overwhelmed by sin to the point that that spirit is grieved. And as time goes on, your life becomes more and more and more absorbed by sin, and God isn't even an afterthought. At some point, the work of that spirit doesn't go on. I can't see that. You can't see that. We can't look at each other. But we can't be fooled. And if you happen to be here and the Spirit of God doesn't dwell within you because you still haven't been forgiven of your sins, because your faith hasn't grown to the point of obedience and being buried with him in baptism, when he forgives you of those sins, and as Acts 2:38 promises and gives us that indwelling of the Spirit, you can't even stand at all. You can't even start to stand. So my lesson today, I acted a little bit silly, and maybe you can remember the sticks better than you remember anything that I said, but that's the lesson. With the Holy Spirit that lives within us, if we lean in toward God, lean in towards one another, arm in arm, love one another, forbear one another, encourage one another. confident that we'll enjoy the love and encouragement of deep relationships, deep fellowship with each other, knowing that there's a brother or sister that in the middle of the night, you need help. You want somebody to pray with you. You want somebody to come over and see you and hug you. They will come. I guarantee it. And that's the relationships that we enjoy in Christ. And if you don't feel that, you need to lean in. You need to lean in. And as I've written here, enjoy the love and encouragement of one another, and He, our Lord, will ensure that you stand now and to the end. And the end is not the end. The end is just the beginning. He'll ensure you stand now and forever. Forever. I hope this makes you think. And we're all somewhere on that journey. And I hope that you won't leave here today if you know or aren't sure if you're the stick laying on the ground that has never received forgiveness and does not have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Scott's going to lead us in a song, and if you have any needs, please come forward.